Welcome back to Remodeling Reinvented, where we explore the world of home design, remodeling, and architecture. I'm your host, Caitlin Copley, joined as always by our amazing producer, Diana Volker. Today, we're shining a spotlight on a role that's often misunderstood, but absolutely critical to a successful remodel, and that's the architect. And today, we're joined by John Cavan, seasoned architect at Jackson Design and Remodeling. And John is known for crafting innovative design solutions tailored to each client's unique vision. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Caitlin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem.
Welcome, John.
Yeah.
Hello, Diana.
Hi.
So I think there's a lot of people here who don't realize how architects work, especially within a design build firm model. So we'll kind of get into that today. So we're excited to hear what you got to say.
Anytime we can talk architecture, that excites me.
All right, John. So let's start with the basics. So for homeowners out there planning a remodel, why is it so important, you think, to work with an architect?
Well, an architect essentially is a problem solver, and we're going to look at the problem and solve the problem. But it becomes more than that, because that's kind of a simplistic way of looking at what we do, where it's all encompassing, where we will listen to the homeowner, talk about what their, quote, problem is, and we will try to come up with a solution. So as we work through the process, we're learning a little bit more about a client and what their problem is, meaning, hey, we need to do a kitchen because our kitchen's too small or it's outdated. That's the problem. And so our job in the beginning is to root through and find out what they really want to do and come up with a solution.
Right. That makes sense. And I know there's a couple of different kinds of business models out there. So we wanted to discuss working with an architect at a design build firm versus a design bid build and the difference between those two. And if you want to kind of talk about that.
Sure. An architect, like I said, is a problem solver, but they're also coming up with spatial planning and they're basically creating beautiful environments of the built form. It doesn't matter which business model that you're talking about. An architect does the same thing. Where it defines differently is in the design build versus the design bid build. So a design bid build is a traditional way of looking at architecture and building, where the architect will be hired by the owner. The owner works with the architect to create a solution. The architect furthers the plans further so that a builder can build or bid off of those plans. Once the plans are bid, they agree on a price, then it moves forward. So it's design, bid, build.
Okay.
So that's the probably most used process, but over the years, the design build process has become more popular because the process of architecture and building is in one form.
Okay.
Meaning one company. So as an example with Jackson, we will work with the client, we'll work with the interior designer, we'll work with the project director to come up with a solution. The solution architecturally and design-wise is the same as an architect bid build, but the process of learning the cost of the project is more forward than in the previous process.
And there's probably better communication in a more of a team setting versus a standalone architect who maybe they don't even know the builder at all or have any relationship with them and competing agendas, right?
Yeah, it's different because usually in the design bid build, you're going out to three different contractors and they're looking at the project differently. They're not emotionally connected to it. They're not connected to it by information. So they have to extract the information where the whole process on the design build starts and it's through the team throughout the process. So there's no break or gap. Typically in a design bid build process, the architect will develop those plans, it'll be bid out, and then you're over budget, then you have to go backwards to the architect, then you have to rebid, and then you have to, that process goes back and forth. We're in the design build side of things. We are looking at cost initially, and we're trying to keep that into consideration the entire time, where we're trying to design within a budget. If we're over budget because the price comes in higher than we think, then we can adjust quickly. So that timeline is quite a bit shorter on the design build process.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And the fact that they design within the budget is really in the homeowner's best interest, because in the design bid build, it's not a guarantee that it's even going to get built, right?
That's right. And from what I understand, 70% of the projects that go through that process get built, where the other 30% tend to fall off because of pricing and costs.
Wow, that's,
oh my gosh,
that's an interesting stat. That poor person's dream never got built.
30%.
Yeah. Wonder what happened, all these designs that are just never seen. Okay, great. So John, so at Jackson Design Remodeling, you work with the designer, the project director, project manager, and you kind of work as a team on all of your projects.
Yeah, the team is intimately involved in a project, and it kind of starts off with the architect will have that initial meeting with the team and the client. Client kind of states their problem and what they are scope wants to be. And from that point, we go back after digesting what the client has requested and talk with the team. And the team being the project director and the interior designer, I would say the project manager isn't as involved until we get deeper into the plans.
Okay.
But in the schematic design side, the architect's going to start space planning. And we're going to be looking at project as many assets. You know, how are rooms adjacent to other rooms? How do you get sight lines? If there's views, how do you capture those views? Where do you put the stairs? It's all those things that an architect is doing to create a composition. That composition flows through from the outside to the inside to the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for ways to solve that client's problem and come up with something beautiful. So that's kind of where it starts.
And are there specific questions you asked during that initial interview process, that maybe how the clients use the space, or what are some questions?
You know, the first part is getting to know the client a little bit, and you're kind of reacting to them at first. As an example, we did a project in Encinitas. It was a ranch house type project. And when we met with the clients, they hadn't moved into the house yet. They'd kind of moved in, but they were kind of living in and out between Rancho Santa Fe and house in Encinitas. And we started talking to them and just having conversation. And one of the things that was brought up was they were big art people. They love art. And so when we take inspiration from a client, we want to try to interpret that into the architecture. And so what we used was the idea of a Mondrian painting. And when you look at the exterior, you can kind of see the reference. It's not literal. It's just kind of suggested. And basically, they wanted this ranch style home to become a modern home. And we kind of took this modern extract right through the middle of the building and created the architecture. Little hint to the art, little hint to what they requested, and then tried to put some form to it.
Yeah, so you really give the house its personality and tying in their interests, and they may not even see it. It's more of a feeling too.
It is a feeling. I think that's, you know, architecture is art, and it is a feeling. You know, even as an architect, you get emotional with the projects that you do and excited. And so you want to be able to express that back to the client and get them excited about it.
That's where having that relationship with the homeowner is so important, right?
Very much so. That's why we connect with them often, where an interior designer may reach out to them and have a conversation about the type of cabinets they want. We may reach out to them and discuss, hey, we're thinking about doing stone here, or we're thinking about using steel, or we're talking about maybe it's just stucco and simple forms. And we may have that conversation with them. That happens in the schematic design process.
Okay.
And there are three basic processes in design: schematic design, design development, and construction documents.
Mm-hmm.
But the schematic design, that's the initial, that's the emotional side of it, where we're trying to get ideas out for the client so that they can see and envision what the project will look like.
Okay. So after you create that initial design, do you then present it to the client and kind of collaborate, or how does that work? Do they review the plans?
Yeah, that's the fun process is, you know, we show them what our solution is to their problem, and we try to get them to visualize what our vision is for the project. And then we go back and forth. You know, they'll say, hey, I like that here, or hey, the kitchen's over here. sure, I like that. Maybe we get some doors off that. Maybe the volume in the kitchen's a little taller, or I like beams. Let's do some beam work on the interior. Exterior wise, we're going to talk to them about what the aesthetic is. Do they like modern architecture? Are they gravitating towards traditional or coastal ranch or mid-century modern? There's so many styles that they can gravitate to.
And during that, I would think you also look at the house in its core and make sure that it makes sense with maybe the neighborhood so it doesn't clash. Or do you take that into account at all? Like maybe for historic homes or?
Yeah, historic homes is a different beast. That is something that we've dealt with over the years. But as far as how do we approach the architecture, the client tends to drive us towards that. We're not picking, let's say, you know, they have a traditional ranch home and they said, and we come up with a modern idea. That's not what they told us. As you were saying, one of those questions we would ask would be, you know, is this the type of architecture that you want to maintain? What's your vision on look and what's the aesthetic? How do you live? What are the things that you like to do within the house? Do you have friends over? Do you have big parties? All those things we're trying to incorporate into the design, but the aesthetic is going to come from the client. And most time than not, you know, we hit it right off.
So it's really tailoring it to each and every client, and there's no one size fits all or anything.
Yeah, that's correct. The client is going to kind of drive that. Now, sometimes they may say, we have no idea what we want to do. We just know we need to do. The house is old. We need to refresh. I've been sitting here at COVID for the last 4 years and I'm staring at this ugly kitchen.
Yeah.
What can we do? Well, then we might come up with different ideas and pitch that to them. That usually happens on the schematic design side.
Got it. That makes sense. So once they decide, hey, let's move forward. I like this design. I like this vision. And they actually sign on with you. What are the steps after that?
Well, the next step from schematic design, once they approve the initial design and concept, we move into design development. And that's where you get a little bit more into the nuts and bolts of a project, where we may take refinement of the space. Interior design is going to start taking off on materials, and they're going to start looking at appliances, and they're going to start looking at kitchen arrangement, maybe bathrooms and so forth. Architecturally, we're taking and refining the design and the space planning, and we're moving it into closer to construction documents, but still within a design development phase. For us, that entails us going to a structural engineer. They're going to lay out a preliminary structural layout, and that gives us an idea in the bidding side on what the structural components will be. So as structure's working on it, we're refining, we're doing doors and window schedules, we're taking the plans a little bit further. So we keep kind of inching up to a final production.
Okay. And then from there, once they see the final design and they're actually moving into construction, aren't there some permitting and things like that you take care of?
Yeah, the next step from after design development is construction documents. Construction documents is where we start detailing, noting, dealing with code enforcement issues, where we may detail the stairs out, or we may have an architectural detail that's important to show. We could have fire protection that we need to show. And then we're going to take the final red lines, the final set from our structural engineer, put that into a package and bundle that up for a city submittal. Once that the construction documents are done, that gets submitted to their governing agency that we're working with, and they will start the process of permitting.
Okay, great. So that at least gives the homeowners a peace of mind going forward. Like, I know that my house is going to be safe, and you know all the regulations, and so you look for all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we do. We do it the best we can. We've got years of experience within our department, and if, you know, I got a question, hey, you know, what do you think about this? The next person up will say, oh yeah, I had that same situation, and this is how I solved it. And so we try to cut out big problems in the beginning, and as it's moving through the building department, then, you know, there's a little bit more refinement that has to happen once we get correction comments back.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure from those years of experience, you can come up with solutions like, hey, I had a house that had that same problem or same issue. This is how we solved it. And you collaborate within your department, right? Mm-hmm. A lot?
Yeah, a lot. There's a lot of collaboration. Said, I work with six other people in our department, and they all have various degrees of experience. As older guys, we have a little bit more experience, so we've been bit a little bit more. But dealing with the city departments, it's never a straight line. It's always kind of a jog here and there, and there may be a code where that maybe has just come into effect, and we have to shift. So it's always an interchanging bolt that we have to keep moving around.
And you have to keep yourself educated, I'm sure, and read up on things and laws and regulations and all of that.
And that's the thing about problem solving. That's what we do.
Well, I want you on my project.
I know, seriously.
So when it comes to designing homes, are there any current remodeling or architectural trends that you feel would stand the test of time, or do you have any favorites?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get that asked of me quite often. And really, architecture is, like I said before, kind of an emotional state. And once you get into design, you're designing within whatever the client's vernacular is. We want to be able to, you know, meet that architecture. What excites me, I do love modern architecture because of the lines, the simple forms that you have. I do like true craftsman style architecture. And when I say true, it's like, what are the elements that makes craftsman architecture, or what makes, you know, coastal ranch and modern ranch? There are elements that you can look at and go, oh yeah, that's what modern ranch is. And oh, that's, I can see that's a modern type of style or contemporary style. So each project, you know, we look at with fresh eyes, and honestly, each project that I do, it becomes my favorite project.
I was just going to ask, I'm sure it's hard to pick your, not that you're picking your favorite child, but do you have any favorites from over the years? Like, I know you, some of your projects have been award winning, they've been published. Any that come to mind that you're like, man, we really nailed that one?
You know, I've been fortunate to work with really great folks. And, you know, we had a situation where we were doing a very traditional project. It was kind of a classic one. And we had torn down the back end of the house, and it was opening up, and we were creating a new living space with a kitchen. And I was there on a site visit just to kind of check the progress. And the homeowner came out, and she started choking up and was like, oh, I can't believe how beautiful this is. And so that, those comments like that, comments when they say, hey, you really listened to us, that means the most to me. So regardless of the style, we want to make sure we're hitting those points.
Gosh, that must feel so good.
It does. That's why you do it.
Somebody cry. So.
Yeah, that's probably a really rewarding part of your job, because, you know, everyone at Jackson Design and Remodeling has their role, but when you can see the look on their face, that, and you're like, wow, I'm really affected the way this person's going to live from here on out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we affect lives, what we do. What we do is very hard.
Yeah.
There's so much information that we have to soak up, and so much information we have to put out. And to work with our team and be cohesive with our team and listen to what they're saying and what their recommendations are. It's a difficult job, and it's a hard process. I mean, there's no doubt about designing and building, that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's never easy. So it's about discovering, resolving, and moving forward so that the end product can be a project that the client's proud of.
Right. So, John, I know there's a lot of misconceptions out there about architects. Do you have any common misconceptions that people have about working with architects, or?
I think just kind of piggybacking on what we were just saying is, a lot of times architects are looked at as, hey, especially in the movies, if you go back to like old time movies, an architect is this crazy guy who has an idea, and I don't care what the homeowner says, and I'm building this for me. And that is definitely not the case. You know, we're looking to do something that's beautiful, looking to make changes in people's lives that are affecting. So it's not for us, it's for the client. We're also trying to create beauty, and sometimes beauty is hard to achieve, and expressing that to a client is sometimes difficult, because people know what they like, or they like what they like, and it's hard to get them outside of that. Sometimes the best solution is, hey, let's open my mind. Let's see what they have to say. Why did you do this? This is why we did it. And they may not have ever thought of that.
Right. And I was just going to ask, what advice would you give a homeowner to get the most out of working with an architect, whether they're at a design build firm or, you know, working with a sole architect?
Yeah. You know, really for us is we kind of want to get into your mind a little bit and find out what you're thinking. What you say is a craftsman style home or a modern contemporary home in your mind is going to be way different than what's in my mind. So if you can come up with pictures and examples of what you see, then what we can do is take those examples and build upon that and give you a different solution. Our best projects typically are the ones where we're working with a client, they understand and they're open-minded about things, and they say, like I said prior, is, you know, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We try to think about all those things.
Well, and you've had a very long career being an architect, and I'm sure you draw inspiration from all kinds of places. I know you said you recently took a trip to Nashville.
I did. Yeah, that was fun.
Lots of whiskey down there?
A little bit of whiskey.
A little. I don't know if it was a little.
I don't know if it was a little.
Well, in addition to that, I know they're definitely known for their music scene, and you mentioned something about the connection between architecture and music, and we found that just fascinating.
No, that is interesting.
Do you want to talk to us about that?
Sure. My wife and I, Patty, we love music, love live music. And for us to go on vacations, you know, we're looking for those things. We want to go see music. We want to go eat. You want to, you know, see the city and the sights and the sounds. And if you've ever been to Nashville, when you walk up and down Broadway, each doorway is filled with music. And within one building, you have 3 floors of music. So it's just constant music. We had 5 days of live music, which was fantastic.
Wow.
And so, you know, the reason I kind of fell in love with music and fell in love with architecture is because architecture and music do have this kind of similarity, this symbiotic of, you know, how they relate to each other. As an example, you know, music may carry a rhythm. Well, in architecture, you're using that as a tool, and maybe you're creating a colonnade out front, which represents the rhythm of the music. Or you may have a chorus where the chorus of a song is put in, and that may be, you know, you're working through a hallway and then your chorus goes into this large open space, and that's kind of your chorus line.
Cool.
So there's a lot of, without geeking out too much on you guys, there's a lot of those things that...
No, that makes sense.
I know, like I'm getting the vision.
The notes are kind of different elements in a house. That's
chorus and
that's an interesting way to think about it. So
music as your carrying a song, you may be trying to elicit an emotion. Maybe it's a sad song, or it's a, you know, a song of reverence. Architecture is the same, where you would be creating space based off of emotion. And so with the emotion of a living room or a bedroom, it's going to be a different vibe than something that would be outside, let's say, and you're entertaining. So it's just ways to kind of organize your thoughts when you're designing and use tools to create space.
That's really cool. I guess it's the same when I turn on a song, whether it's a love song that gives you a certain feeling. When you walk into a house, you also get a feeling, or even when you're walking into a restaurant, it gives you a feeling. I never thought about that.
So think about this. If you've been to court, right? And not on purpose. Right?
Oh my God.
So you've been to court.
Sort of.
When you when you step into that courtroom, everything's organized a certain way. The judge has authority, so he's raised higher. The materials on the wall are colder because you don't want this warm feeling. So it's the same thing with how we would design in residential architecture. Maybe not to that literal extent, but again, it's a tool that helps us get to a creative level. It gets us to an end solution.
Well, I love that. So I think to end things, Diana has some quick fire questions to ask you.
Are you ready, John?
I don't know. Quick fire, not so quick anymore.
Oh, come on. You are. You're doing wonderful. All right, here we go. Your favorite home style.
And like I said before, it's hard to really put a finger on it. I would say the modern architecture tends to excite me the most because it's a formed-based architecture and it's not applied materials, where if you're doing craftsman, you might have an application of wood and how those pieces of wood is jointed. But architecture is pure form, and that does excite me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, who's your favorite architect?
A lot of architects out there. Since I'm a little bit more old school, I would quote old school. You know, people like Mies van der Rohe, his modern style is inspiring. Charles Moore, more traditional. Frank Gehry is exciting because he kind of takes the rules and kind of crumbles them up and creates architecture out of it. So I like things that are moving and I like things that are a little bit different. I would say those three.
Love that.
Any of those in San Diego? Is there a Gehry project here?
I am sure there's a Frank Gehry somewhere in San Diego. There was a project by Charles Moore. I can't remember where he was. Mies van der Rohe, I've seen some of his buildings in Chicago. He's more, you know, eastbound.
Okay. And let's see, your kitchen appliance or gadget you can't live without.
Well, probably my smoker.
You love your smoked meats.
You know what?
I do love my smoked meats.
I have to agree.
Yeah.
Your barbecue changed my life. I think I told you that last time you made something. I was like, this changed my life.
Well, I think I got the pork butt down. This last weekend on Easter, we did a smoked turkey. That was fantastic, which we're still eating on. So I would say smoker and the outdoor appliances. That's where I like to cook.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, this has been a really helpful conversation. And John, thank you for walking us through the architect's role in remodeling. And it's really clear how valuable working with an architect is on these remodeling projects.
Well, thanks, Kit, for having me. Diana, thank you.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I do have one thing to say.
Of course.
Let's go Padres.
Oh,
John. Yeah. Put that in. John is an epic Padres fan. You even won one of those ticket raffles, didn't you?
I did, the 50-50 one here.
You're the only person, and I'm from San Diego, you're the only person who I've ever known who's ever won something like that.
It was shocking. It was during a Dodger playoff, or not playoff, a regular season game. And my number was pulled, and it was a $32,000 jackpot.
Wow.
So we got to split that. I have to say, we had a very nice time in Hawaii.
I'm good.
Love that. Love that. And that's a wrap on today's episode of Remodeling Reinvented. Thank you for tuning in. If you loved today's episode, be sure to subscribe and rate us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.